Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our holy heavenly Father, we come before thee, the one true God, thou who hast created us, thou who art faithful and true and never failing. Lord, we turn to thee as we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to open thy precious word and to meditate this evening, that thou would draw us to thyself, that where we are perhaps separate, Lord, that thou would bind us and that thou would draw us heavenward, that our minds and thoughts would be at the right hand of God where Christ sits and reigns. Lord, we thank thee for this evening. We pray that thou would be present among us by thy Holy Spirit. Teach us and guide us. Help us to have willing and humble hearts ready to receive. For thou hast done so much for us. We can scarcely utter even a small portion of how much we can be thankful to thee, Lord, for thy goodness and thy blessings far more than any of us deserve. So with thankful hearts, we look up to thee to worship thee. We lift up our souls before thee and pray that thou would lead us and show us the way, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, let us read together this evening from Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, would like to read the first 19 verses with the Lord's help. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Desire to conclude with number 19. It was mentioned in the prayer that we should take the journey with Abraham to this mountain. That in our time of meditation this evening, we would put ourselves into this story. There are truly eternal lessons of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that can be gleaned. There are lessons of faith. And these two things will touch each of our lives. And we're interacting with the Savior at some level. And we are each interacting with faith at some level. And so it's very fitting for us to enter into this account, to see where we are in this story, to see where maybe we have come from and where we are going. What is our destiny? What is our future? The story of Abraham's faith. As we consider what is written here, is far deeper than a concept or an idea or a simple agreement with a few points on a statement of faith. But it's describing true faith. It's describing a man whom God called righteous. Where am I on my path in comparison to what is given here? God calls Abraham, and he has set a trial. It says the word tempt, yet we know from the New Testament that God does not tempt any man with evil. But he's trying Abraham's faith, and he simply says his name, Abraham. And Abraham responds, "Behold, here I am. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm all here. All my faculties, all my abilities, and all my attention is focused now to the one who's calling." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." So he sets him out on the journey. He gives him the instruction and the direction. And that is all. He does not tell him why. He does not reason with Abraham and provide him an argument for why this would be in his best interest, or convince him cunningly that this is what he ought to do, but simply gives the command. And the heart that is completely ready and giving his attention to the Lord does not need his arm twisted when the command comes. It is enough that for Abraham that it is the Lord that is speaking to him. That the first step would not be, "Well, let me question and let me analyze this command to see if I agree and if it suits my desires and my ends." But obedience and putting into practice is the first thing in his response. He rises up early. He knows he needs to make preparation. He knows he needs to set things in order so that he can keep that which God has given him to perform. There are many things that we can learn even from these few verses that apply to our lives and would be a part of our story and our life if we are to prosper in faith and follow in these steps of faith. To have our attention upon the Lord. To be fully waiting upon him and his instruction. To be interested and not be distracted, which is a huge challenge for us with so many things to pull our attention. To be completely present and ready to hear and to be at God's disposal. That's the preparation of the heart that seems to be calling to me, and I believe to each and every one of us. Is my heart good? Is it a good ground? Is my heart directed toward the Lord? Are all my faculties and energies and abilities available for his disposal and use. To have a heart that doesn't question. To have a heart that considers it good enough that the Word of God says it. So I will believe it. And I will put it into practice. That goes very much against how man is trained up in this day to question everything, to analyze and to criticize. But we who have been made of the dust of the ground, who have been created by God, if that's true, then we don't have room to criticize. But we can always make more room for more surrender and more obedience. We can always grow in the preparations of our hearts and the preparations of our days, the preparations of our habits and what we do and how we set ourselves up early in the morning, as it were, to make provision, not for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but to make room for the Lord and His leading. And this is part of the example of faith that Abraham gives. He collects everything and his son Isaac and goes with two young men. They see the place afar off, and Abraham tells the young men to wait, and Abraham and Isaac go alone. Just him and his son. Just him and the one that he loves. Just him and the son that God promised to him. The son that he had believed that God would fulfill his promise to him of making many nations, of a blessing upon all the world, that it would come through him. But the task is to sacrifice him. And so Abraham, he's coming into contact with what seems like a contradiction. How can this be? I thought God expected one thing, and yet he's asking me something that doesn't seem to be possible for both of them to exist. And it's a situation that he doesn't know what the conclusion's going to be. He doesn't know how. But he believes that God can make a way. And we probably come under situations like that often. Probably not with such high stakes as Abraham is being tried and tested under. But perhaps in very small things, Satan tempts us and says, you're going to miss out if you don't involve yourself in this or that that is very popular in the world. You are going to appear backwards and old-fashioned. If you don't go along with the crowd, you're going to miss out on something. And so the question comes to us when with our human intellect, we think that the scenario that God has put in front of us is impossible or has its challenges. Who will we believe? Will we believe our senses, or will we believe the Word in its simplicity and its clarity? And often the test is, do we believe? And it's a very simple thing. We say we believe. We say we accept the word. We say we love. But when things don't make sense, when we can't rationalize the benefit to ourselves, then questions come in, and it becomes a test. And it's hard to imagine the extent of the test that Abraham went through. When you consider the cost that he was asked to pay, when you consider the price that God was asking him to put down, his son, the son that he loved, those of us who are parents can, you can barely read this without becoming overcome with emotion and wonder, where would I be? Where is my faith? Would I believe? But Abraham says to his son, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And we see a hint of the faith of Abraham coming forth yet again, that God will provide. God will provide. God will provide for his own to keep them faithful, to keep them in his hand, to provide for them their daily needs, though the world tells us you're at risk. You need to be careful and you need to be afraid. But Abraham reminds Isaac and he reminds himself, God will provide. And so they came to the place that God told him of. They prepared, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. You know, this would have been a very stressful situation, and our lives are filled with stress and pressures. We don't respond very well, at least I don't, when under pressure or in great need. Often the patience is shorter than usual. But we see in Abraham a response even at this critical moment, this pivotal moment where the test is at its peak. And he says to the Lord, here am I. I'm still here. Even in the hardest moment, I'm still all yours. My faculties, my attention is still on you, Lord. And that is a beautiful blessing of faith. We see in the example of Peter when he was on the water, when his eyes were upon his Lord, he was able to stay upright. When his eyes turned away, and when his focus turned upon the winds, then he faltered. We keep our eyes upon our problems. We keep our eyes upon the challenge and the deficiencies and the temptations of Satan. We will falter. But keep our eyes upon the Lord, even in the heat of the battle, is the path to peace, is the path to the victory and the provision that God is about to unfold. And it's a challenge that we would also face. that I believe Jesus wants us to learn about. You see, in this chapter, God gives him the command, but it doesn't appear that God gave him any sense that the challenge would be relieving soon, or that everything was going to work out just fine. His faith needed to carry him through, and he trusted the Lord, and that was sufficient. But it's not like things were just getting better and better, and so he could hang on a little bit longer. Up until this point, it's getting more and more difficult. And Jesus told a parable, and he encouraged his disciples, and he encouraged us also, that men ought to pray and not to faint. Oftentimes, when we pray in a time of temptation, the way of escape is not always readily apparent. And the challenge grows deeper and harder. But then, the opportunity to escape presents itself. The door opens. It didn't seem like things were getting better and better. It seemed like things were getting more challenging. But then comes the relief. And the test is, not do you see some hopeful signs, but do you trust in the Lord? And will you trust even though it's getting harder? Up until the point that deliverance comes, Jesus told his disciples to pray and not to faint. You know, if things were getting better and things were getting easier, you might be motivated to pray less. But if there's a need to persevere and not to faint, it's because the challenge is hard. And it continues to be hard until God provides the deliverance. And that's what happens here. Abraham, Abraham, and he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifts up his eyes, and he sees the ram caught in the thicket by his horns. He takes the ram and he offers up burnt offering instead of his son. And God gives him a reassurance of promises unto him in the blessings and in the promise of a blessing to all nations that would come through Jesus Christ, we believe. Because of his faith and because of his obedience. As we would consider how our lives should join in with Abraham's journey, we would look to some of the scriptures in the New Testament that speak about this passage. The first one would be in Hebrews chapter 11. And the writer of Hebrews gives some insight into what was taking place and what was going on in Abraham's faith that he was able to endure. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." So do you see? You see what was going through Abraham's mind when he was walking with Isaac, when he was walking with the two young men, and they were going. He was contemplating not how he was going to get out of obeying, but he was contemplating, when I fully carry this out, God must be able to raise the dead, because he will keep his promise. God's word will be true. And so Abraham believed that which for man is impossible, and perceived what God is able to do that he was not perhaps aware of before. You know, we all have experience and we have a limitation to what we know that God can do because we've seen him work. But beyond that, do we know? You can read in the scripture and you can see examples and you can learn. But it is by faith that we take hold of those things. And that we believe that if we would lay down our life with Christ, that we will take it up again. In this world that says, get what you can while you can and enjoy the moment for your flesh, Christ says, lay down your life. Well, how can you do that? If you believe that through laying down our life and losing our lives for Christ's sake, that we find it, that we find the life of peace and faith with God, that we believe in the resurrection, we believe in God more than the clear pathways that we make for ourselves by our own strength. You see, in Matthew chapter 3, when John the Baptist was preaching, there were some that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came to his baptism, and John was not going to baptize them. He said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. What is God able to do? That's the test of our faith. The Pharisees and Sadducees believed that because they were descendants of Abraham, that they earned some right to be part of the kingdom. But John clearly taught him that they did not. That was not the way to enter in, but by faith. And God, who is all-powerful, can take a heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, can change a heart when a man and woman believe upon the Lord, take him at his word, and follow his command. This is what the Lord can do. One final scripture that speaks of this account in the New Testament is found in James chapter 2. As James speaks of faith and works, and he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And that distinction between faith is a faith that is merely rooted in concept and ideas and in acceptance, in contrast with a faith that has fruits and bears some effect on reality, that bears some effect on the life and on the family and on the community and on the future and the path forward. Abraham's choices and his actions that resulted from his faith truly did have great effect upon all of those. And yet, we see in the New Testament this discussion in Romans regarding faith and works, where Paul is contrasting the works of the law and the ceremonial practices of the Jews, which Abraham never practiced apart from circumcision. He did not have a tabernacle to worship in. There was no priesthood. And so without those works of the Mosaic law, even Abraham was faithful before God. And so we, without the works of the Mosaic law and the works of Judaism, through Christ, can be declared righteous and walk before him in faith. We've spoken much of Abraham and entered much into his journey of faith and what that experience meant for him. But there are other characters in this story. There are two men that stand afar off. Some of you, my friends, maybe that's you. When it comes to the story of faith in life, you stand at a distance, and you are mere observers to what is going on. Maybe that's you. But there's another one, and there's Isaac. And Isaac is someone that we should also all relate to. Because Isaac was laid upon the altar. And he was going to be slain. But at the end of the story, he is walking away. And the sacrifice that God provided was slain and offered. And that is a story of faith for us too. That we see ourselves as the ones that should have died. But God provided a sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the righteous, the sinless. God himself provided a lamb for an offering. We are allowed to go. He was slain in our stead. What great faith and what great love should that truth bring about in our hearts. It's a marvelous story. We can all find our place in it. And we can all find direction for our path in this life by taking heed to a story of faith, the story that points to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who truly all of this is about. The blessing that would come upon all nations is Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is not just for Isaac and his descendants, but it is now offered to all nations to partake and to become part of the story of faith. So may the Lord guide us. May the Lord bind us close to him in faith and love as we seek to apply these lessons and these truths to our life. May God bless his holy word. Amen.